Turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, on the reverse side of your bulletin, will be a place for sermon notes. And with an open heart and an open mind, we have the wonderful privilege of hearing God's Word expounded. Joshua 22:5 reads, "But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." That sounds familiar. We've been these past 4 weeks talking about Proverbs 4:23, where you guard your heart and with all diligence. And here Joshua makes this appeal to the people of God. Nehemiah 8:10 reads, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." The joy of the Lord is your strength. A sad, depressed, discouraged Christian becomes very vulnerable to temptation. They easily yield to that which dishonors Christ, which further leads them into more frustration, confusion, and discouragement. Because the joy of the Lord is what enables us, strengthens us to resist the world's calling to yield to its ways. Now read with me these next scriptures together. Psalm 34:8. "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him." Psalm 37:4. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Matthew 6:33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." John 10:10. "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Philippians 1:21. "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Colossians 2:3. "In Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." 1 Timothy 4:12. "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." James 4:4. "Know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." My prayer this week has been that God would birth a message within my soul that would ignite a spark within the hearts of our youth leaders, parents, singles, and believers of every age. A spark that would lead to a desire, that would lead to a passion to pursue Christ as our greatest treasure. A passion that would open our understanding to the truth that we do not have to wait until we are 18 or 21 to make much of Jesus Christ, but that there is a way for 6-year-olds and 10-year-olds and 14 and 16-year-olds to make much of Christ and to pursue Him more than anything in this life. A passion that would cause the words of Ecclesiastes 12:1, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth," to burn deep within the hearts of our students. The words, "Remember now Thy Creator in the days of thy youth would ring so clearly within our hearts that it would override any and all appeals of popularity, peers, disappointments, failures, or fears. Paul, writing to young Timothy, said, Don't let anyone look down upon you. Don't let anyone despise you because of your age. But you be an example. You be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Far too many adults within the church don't expect young people to understand what it really means to be passionate for Christ. They don't understand, they don't think teenagers would understand what it means to have a heart that is hot. That's the language Jesus used. A heart that is hot for God. And what it means to treasure Christ above everything and to treasure Christ above anyone. And if you did understand, they wouldn't expect you to care. And if you did care, they wouldn't expect you to do something about it. And if you did something about it, they wouldn't expect it to last. Our spiritual expectations are far too low for our youth. And may today mark a new beginning, that we as adults raise our spiritual expectations for our young people through seeking God's throne to do something to our heart that it won't do in itself. And may we as adults set the example as well that says, yes, we do believe that you can be a rebel for God that says no to this world. A rebel that says no to my self agenda. And a rebel that says, I will give my complete allegiance to one and only one, Jesus Christ. Oh, that God, through His grace and mercy, would replace any lukewarmness within our hearts as parents, as grandparents, within the hearts of any of our young people, that He would remove that lukewarmness and any lack of desire with a passion, with a Holy Spirit passion that outcries any appeals from our world or outcries anything or anyone that is competing for our heart's affections. Oh, that our heart would beat one beat and one beat alone, and that is this, that Jesus Christ would rule supreme. My call today is for a passion to fill the hearts of our students that would lead them into rebellion. I want you to be a rebel. A rebel against this low-yielding, Christ-dishonoring, truth-distorting, soul-destroying world. To discover the heart-satisfying, joy-fulfilling, eternal rewarding kingdom of Christ. May our youth pursue a passion that would create within them a rebel heart that is so evident that it catches the attention of hell. Like Acts 19, where the demons cried out to the sons of Sceva, Christ we know, Paul we know, but who are you? Would to God that a handful of our students would seek God with such a passion and a rebel against Satan's deceptive culture with such a vengeance that demons would cry out with protest and hatred, Christ we know, Paul we know, and you we know. Oh, how God is looking for rebels. You know, by our very nature, our heart is rebellious. There is something within us that wants to rebel, that likes to rebel. Turn that over to Christ and be His kind of a rebel that brings glory to God and joy to your soul that be the envy of this world. Be a rebel that leads to being radical in how you forgive those who sin against you. Be a rebel that leads you to live in such a way that rejects the appeals of sinful Christ dishonoring behavior. Be a rebel that says, I will not be satisfied with language and actions that displeases my Savior. Be such a rebel that says, I may lose every friend I have to gain Christ. I may lose the respect of my peers. I may lose my mother and my father's dream for me in order to fulfill God's will in my life. Be a rebel against this culture, a rebel against your own agenda, and place your allegiance to one King and one King alone, Jesus Christ. Be a rebel that says, I may lose everything that is dear to me to gain Christ. Be a rebel that says with the Apostle Paul, everything that I count dear is nothing but dung. A rebel that's willing to live single if your Savior so wills it that you can give more of yourself to Him. A rebel against this comfort of this land and a willingness, if God so calls you, to live in a foreign country as a missionary. A rebel that says, I will raise my children thousands of miles away from here that I may please Christ. Oh, to be such a rebel that your battle cry becomes, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Be a rebel that lives in such a way that you bring about benefits that far surpasses this 80 or 90 years on this planet and reaps rewards far into 100 million years, 700 billion years and beyond. Be such a rebel that causes you to long to hear one thing more than anything in this life, more than the words of a spouse that are so sweet that say, I'm glad you're mine. Words, a longing to hear words that are more precious than the cry of your baby's first moments. A longing to hear words that mean more to you than the words of your own child or grandchild that says, Mommy, Daddy, I love you. Live with such a rebel's heart against this world that your longing, your heartbeat is to hear these words from your Lord and Savior. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Be such a rebel that cherishes the old rugged cross and be offended by people who wear it around their neck or tattooed on their back or on their arm just in mockery. Be a rebel that cherishes the cross because it means that the eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ, was punished by His Father to demonstrate a love that has no equal. A cross that was stained with pure blood that was never contaminated with sin, so it could satisfy the just demands of the holy, righteous, and all-powerful and all-knowing Father. A cross that had on it a blood-soaked Savior receiving sin-stained sinners. A cross that suspended Christ in midair, being rejected by both heaven and earth. And it wasn't the nails that kept Jesus contained on the cross. It was His passion to fulfill His Father's will. And may we, by faith, look to His cross and seek God to place within our hearts just a drop of the blood-filled sweat to wash away any affection or love affair that we have with this world and to replace it with the hot passion for Christ's kingdom. Oh, to be a rebel like Abraham, who left his family to begin a new nation. A rebel like Abraham, who was willing to sacrifice his own son, Isaac, in obedience to God's command. Oh, to be a rebel like Noah, who for 120 years endured the scoffers while building the ark and preaching repentance. A rebel that could day after day hear the crowd hurl insults and profanities. 120 years of faithfulness in the midst of such adverse circumstances. To be a rebel like Joseph, who refused to have sex with a woman who was seducing him. To be such a rebel like Joseph, who rejected the male ego and said, I cannot do this sin against my God. A rebel like Joseph, who refused to get revenge against his brothers who had committed such horrific crimes against him. To be a rebel like Moses, who refused to be identified with the power and riches of Egypt so he could be counted among God's people. A rebel like Moses, who rebelled against Egypt's prestige, Egypt's pleasure, Egypt's pressure. To be rebels like Joshua and Caleb, who withstood 10 of their peers and all of the congregation of Israel and said, God will grant us victory over our enemy regardless of how big they are. Oh, to be a rebel like young King Asa, who withstood his queen mother and ordered false altars to be destroyed. To be a rebel like Esther, who said, I know it's against the law to go in unannounced to the king, but I will go in unannounced to appeal for my people, and if I perish, I perish. To be a rebel like Daniel, who received an order not to pray, and he prayed anyway, and ended up in the lion's den. To be a rebel like the three Hebrews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who refused to obey King Nebuchadnezzar in bowing down to false gods and said, We know that God has the power and the ability to deliver us, and He may choose to do so, O King Nebuchadnezzar, but He may not choose to deliver us. But we want you to know this. We want you to know this, King. We want everyone in your kingdom to know. We may burn, but we will never, never, never bow. Oh, that God would raise up rebels who would say, we stop bowing to the altars of this world, and we will give our allegiance to Christ and Christ alone. Oh, to be rebels like men, like the men and the women of Hebrews 11. And what a fitting end to this charge. Hebrews 11, 32. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, Samson, and Japheth, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Now listen carefully. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings. Yes, yes, even yes, of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn or cut in two. Were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. And I love verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. That's how God sees rebels for Him. The world's not worthy of you. Oh, that God would place within our hearts a desire to seek Him, and to want Him, and to know Him as our greatest treasure. This is a call to be God's rebel. What do I want you to do? This week, I want you to find a passage of your choice or one that we shared this morning, and really meditate upon it. Perhaps 1 Timothy 4:12. Perhaps Psalm 37. Perhaps Hebrews 11:38. But I've challenged all of us to find a passage this week and to really meditate upon it. And then to make our prayer this: oh God, do to my heart what my heart will not do for itself. Please create a hunger, a thirst, a desire, a passion within my heart to desire Christ above anything and above anyone. And may that prayer begin now. Now. Let's prayerfully stand together. For our members and our guests, we have a prayer room over to my right where we have men and women who'll be more than glad and honored to pray with you or for you about how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Or maybe there's issues in your heart and life this morning that God is dealing with you about that had nothing to do with the message. But this morning, my call, I believe a God-prompted mandate is for us to stop having a love affair with this world and to treasure Christ above all. And maybe this morning, some of you adults, parents, grandparents, but especially our students, you say, Pastor, God has put that spark in my heart, and I will commit to seeking Him in prayer and meditating upon the Scriptures this week, that He would cause that spark to become a passion within my soul, a God-given, Holy Spirit-sanctioned passion to treasure Christ above all. And keep me in your prayers this morning. If God has so prompted your heart, just hold your hand up to say, Pastor, God is working in my life today. He has prompted my heart. Thank you for the adults who've responded. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Any other young people? God bless you. Thank you. Okay, the message has been laid out. The seed has been planted. We're at the mercy of God to do a work with what's been shared. And I find that a most refreshing place to be, at His mercy to do a work within our hearts. But if God has so prompted your heart and you want someone to pray with you, please, as I'm speaking even now, make your way to my right to the prayer room. Now, we know you can be praying there, and many of you are. As our ushers are making their way to the front, prayerfully be seated. The prayer room is still open, but prayerfully be seated. We close the service out with a pastoral